Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, 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 everybody. Keelan Patterson, P4P Real Talk at West Muscle in your house or in your car or wherever you are listening. Because, yeah, we're there. And this program is sponsored by P4P Muscle, the number one drug-free sponsor foundation in the world. And I do that pause and delay because it's just that special. Yes. And if you are a drug-free athlete and are looking for a solid foundation to stand on, not quicksand, not water, not good, and a vehicle to drive your goals like what this?
Oh, like a Mack truck through Ben and Jerry's ice cream.
With some P4P toppings?
I don't know, cookie dough. You can throw P4P on it if you want to.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Now you're talking. Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we don't even need to do a show now. It's just like...
You get on with it. Get on with it.
Check us out at p4pmuscle.com on an ice cream cone. And now, let's talk about ice cream. No, I'm just kidding. How you doing, Des?
I am good. I'm good. And I'm so sorry to have gotten you off track there. We'll save the Ben and Jerry's discussion for after the NGA USA Championships coming up June 24th. I gotcha. Kalen Patterson on a stage near you. Be there, be square.
Be there and be good. Yeah.
There you go. There you go. So it's been great weather, and I have to say, P4P Real Talk fam, it's been a busy week already for me, and it's going to be a busy week because my number one, my son, graduating from high school this weekend. So we're getting ready for all of his graduation shenanigans, but I have to throw that out there because it's a proud mom moment, and I can't believe that it's been 18 years already, and now I've got a high school graduate, soon to be college freshman. Crazy to me, absolutely crazy. But anyway, there you go. That's what I got going on.
No, no, hold on, because I don't want people to overlook what you just said, because you're a mother, and you're talking about something that's very beneficial and big in a mother's life, but you're still a competitor,
yeah,
and you're still a Real Talk, a Midwest, a host. I mean, it's just so many things that you've taken on, so people don't take your life and give it to somebody else. Make a life and basically share it with others, because Des just said something really big, but because she's so humble about it, she doesn't understand the enormity of what she's actually doing just to get through the week, and it's so big, but it seems like every day because she's accepted that challenge. So what challenges are you willing to accept in your life where you can say, hey, you know, I made an impression, and it was a good one, and she's passing all of that information on to her children, and one is graduating because of the success she's had in her own life to basically pass on to him. So think about that as you go through your day, and pretty much understand that you can always do better, and you always challenge others to do better by you doing better. So, Des, thank you and congratulations.
Hey, and thank you, and thank you. And now that you bring that up, and I do appreciate you saying all of those kind words, just real quick, because we've got an awesome show tonight, but my son, over the last, I don't know how many months he's been working on it, but several months, has lost over 20 pounds. And so he is hopefully not going to throw on that freshman 15 since he's been working so hard. But, I mean, he's really taken more control over his food choices, and he's putting in work in the gym on a regular basis. And he started to see that, you know, that muscle development. And we all know that results are addictive. And he is so loving that right now and is so inspired about that right now. And he's wanting to go major in the field of exercise science. So, you know, just exciting stuff happening. So just to tag into what Kalen said, you never really know who's paying attention to you. I mean, you think your kids are watching you, but they like to pretend like, you know, mom and dad are so uncool and, oh, my gosh, and I can't wait just to get away and be on my own. But, you know, even though they can be difficult parents, they're still watching everything that you do. So as Kalen says, you know, when you challenge yourself to do better, you're really raising the bar for your kids to aspire to do better too. So just kind of keep that in mind. And yeah, so just great stuff, great stuff. And so to take a step back to set up the stage for tonight's show, when I was coming home from the Chi-Town Showdown, which again, shout out to Joe and Heather Perez, great show. Looking forward to 2018, and hopefully Kaylin will be on that stage then too. But, you know, I had shared a small rant about just the health of competitors, because Kaylin has been to both of those shows, and I think he saw at least one of the gals. I know you saw her at the Natural Southern States Classic, but they both happen to be bikini girls, which I'm not really sure what that's all about, but they got so sick on show day that neither one of them could finish the show. I remember the gal at Natural Southern States Classic. I mean, she had to sit down. She was seizing up, cramping up. She couldn't even stand. I mean, she was so dehydrated. They were trying to pump. They couldn't pump fluids into her fast enough to try and bring her back around. And she never made it back on the stage. And then at the Chi-Town Showdown, somewhere between pre-judging and the night show, we lost a bikini competitor. She never made it back to the stage. She didn't make it to the night show. I don't even know how she would have placed had she been there, you know, because they had to go on with the judging with the competitors that were there on the stage. So that just really raises a red flag for me, because a lot of that, when you see it, I mean, you don't always 100% know the cause, but when you see it, it's due to usually a couple of things, dehydration or just a really poor diet or nutrition plan going into competition day. I mean, your nutrition is critical to you throughout your entire competition, but it's almost most critical to you that last week, peak week going into it, and then show day. Because those days, regardless of what you did, you know, all 12 weeks, 16 weeks, 20 weeks, however long your prep was prior to that, you can undo it totally in that span of time. And so, and as you can see for these two bikini competitors, you know, it totally impacted their day. They didn't finish. They didn't finish everything that they had trained for. They didn't make it back to the stage for the end culmination of everything that they were trying to do. And that is really sad, because, A, they had such a toll on their body. They weren't in good health. And, B, it was like everything they had just done never happened, because they couldn't finish it. So now they don't even know what would have happened. Have to go through the process all over again. And it's just really scary on several fronts. So tonight we have got a great guest coming in. She is an IPE and an NGA bikini pro. She also owns her own fitness and nutrition consulting business, and that she is Alyssa Van Deest. Alyssa, how are you doing? Please say hello to everyone in listener land.
Hi, everybody, and I'm doing great, Desi. I guess a little bit about myself. I am a 27-year-old business owner and IPE NGA bikini pro. I live in Webster City, Iowa. And for the most part, I work with a lot of lifestyle clients and then athletes like marathon runners and a lot of people like that. And then I do have a handful of competitors that I work with. And I'm very, very passionate about natural bodybuilding and having everything, I guess, with my clients, having prepped them the right way. That's what I'm passionate about, making sure that, you know, we have the healthiest preps possible, even though, I mean, I like to tell people prep isn't exactly, quote unquote, healthy, but doing it the best way with the least amount of, what's the word I want to use? The least amount of, I guess, repercussions in the end. So like you said, you see girls that are dehydrated or, you know, unable to get on stage. That's something I want to avoid.
Hopefully you can run out of the friggin' park. I mean, it's you know, we love this and we really enjoy it, but so many of us see the people – I don't know, it's kind of like in any other sport, there's a way to get there successfully, and then there's a way to basically arrive. And I think that's where you were looking for. It's supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be joy. It's supposed to be when you get to the mountaintop and somebody kicks you off before you can plant the flag. And that's what it feels like. So I know as a coach, it's got to be frightening. And I don't know any person that helps anyone with health that could stand and, you know, stand idly by and watch something like that happen. Like there's a saying, it's scary because, you know, you get one life. And I can't imagine spending 6 months of that life in just torture to where they can arrive and basically show up. And it would almost be like, you know, doing a cross-country drive and everybody else is basically enjoying the ride. But because you're the driver and you had to drive straight through, you don't get to, you know, enjoy the destination. And I think that's where we are with some of these competitors. And, you know, shame on them, coaches. Shame on the people that are dealing with their diet. And just, you know, my goodness, it's just got to be scary. And honestly, I've been wanting to have this talk with you since you and I were on Melissa's show. And I'm glad we've kind of got hold of you because this is so important. And I knew it back then, so I'm, like, giddy over here. Yay, yay, yay. So I'm really happy for this. So thank you for coming on.
Yeah, I'm super excited to be on the show. That's for sure.
So I know I've kind of positioned this to be really tough on the coaches because, hey, I do know in these particular two instances that these ladies had coaches. But I also know that there are some competitors out there who are doing their own prep and are probably in similar situations because they just don't know any better. So the whole purpose of this show is not to come down on anyone in particular, although for coaches who know better and who are making money off of people's trust and are leading them down this road, I will say shame on you. But that's not where I want to take this whole show. What I would rather do is spend time talking about, I want to talk about peak week, and then I also want to talk about show day. And I would love for you to share your perspective of, you know, what a successful peak week looks like. What is the purpose of it? What should be your mentality while you're in it, so our folks who may not necessarily have an understanding of what a good, solid peak week should kind of look like, and I'm not talking about, you know, specifics of day one, day two, but, you know, just in general, how, you know, the things you can look for to know if you're having a really solid peak week experience from a nutrition perspective, and then how you carry over that momentum into show day.
Okay. All right, so I guess I'll just start by, I'll give you kind of a metaphor for, I guess, what I think of as peak week. So say you're baking a wedding cake. You do all that work. You put, you know, you bake the cakes. You do all the layering. You do all of this work. Mm. And then the final touch is putting that icing on the cake, putting that cake topper on there. You know what I mean? That, putting the icing on the cake, that is your peak week. I mean, it shouldn't be anything drastic. You shouldn't have to go into it thinking, oh, I have all this work to do. The work should be done. If you, I mean, if you prep properly, the work should be done. And this should just be your time to kind of get excited about your show and get excited about, you know, what's to come and just go through the week, follow your plan the way hopefully your good coach sets up for you and kind of just coast into the show and have a good time. Because that's what it's, you know, that's what it's all about. Like Kaylin said, it's about having fun and really enjoying this process. And, you know, peak week shouldn't be time to be grinding it out. I guess what I have my clients do, nothing, I mean, I guess I should just say, if someone's not ready, they're not ready. And a coach who knows better shouldn't be putting them on stage. And that's how it should be, but that's not how it is in most cases. But when I set up a peak week for someone, you know, they're usually ready, if not ready before. And depending on the type of competitor, I won't go into like huge details, but usually things are pretty simple. I mean, their diet is either you get like a light boost in carbs, you don't really mess with sodium. You give them plenty of water. You make sure they're feeling good. And really, you check pictures each day. I usually have my clients send me pictures two times a day during peak week, so right in the morning when they get up, and then at night when they're full of water and food, and then day by day, just kind of make little tiny adjustments to make sure that they're bringing in their best physique. And honestly, I mean, it's really not some magic fairy dust that we sprinkle on people during peak week, you know. They should have the package there, and you're just doing your best to really bring out the final touches with really small manipulations to certain variables.
So just to clarify then, to make sure we have this in layman's terms, so we've got nobody missing this. Peak week, you may continue to lose weight during peak week, but that's not your goal. As Alyssa said, the work should already be done. So you should not be going into peak week thinking, okay, this week I'm going to drop all of this and that. No, you should be feeling like you're at a pretty solid weight wherever you are. And any additional shred, if that's what you need, is bonus on top of that. And it's not the time, like she said, to do anything drastic with your diet. You know, you may have a couple of depletion days in there, depending on who the person is and what your coach suggests, and then some carb up days. I mean, everybody has their different style, but for the most part, Alyssa, I think, totally 100% on point. It should be pretty simple and consistent and, you know, just ease you in onto that competition day. Kaylin, any additional thoughts on that?
Yes, because, Alyssa has a background that basically ensures that she knows what she's saying, and I don't know if she referenced it or if I just missed it, but if she could please give us that information so people could understand that she knows where she's coming from.
Yes, I totally forgot to talk about my background, didn't I? So I actually have a degree. I have a degree in dietetics, nutrition from Iowa State University, and psychology from Iowa State University. And I've worked for the last 5 years, even before I started competing with clients with their nutrition. And so I've had quite a bit of schooling on the topic, and I understand the human body and, you know, how it works and what ways different variables like carbohydrates and protein and fat, how that all can affect the body and things like that. That's my background.
And I think it's super cool that you've got the psychology that goes along with it, because that is an area, and Kaylin and I touch on it from time to time, and we have guests in that area from time to time, but it is so important, I think, especially with nutrition, because so much of it is or can be psychological, because food is emotional.
Mm-hmm.
And so just understanding that emotional connection that goes along with eating and how we do it and why we do it the way we do it is an important part of that picture. So that kind of gives you that 1-2 punch on the nutrition front. And we've got several listener questions piling up, so I'll start to get some of those out here. So we were on the path of food prep, peak week, and so that's where we're still headed. Dale wants to know some of the signs of a bad prep.
Signs of a bad
prep. So I guess, or maybe a bad prep, or another way of knowing, so you're headed into peak week, you're at peak week, you know, maybe signs that you're just not ready, like you thought you were.
Signs that you're not ready. I guess one thing I would say is a lot of people get hung up on body fat percentage or body weight in relation to their height. And I think that really should be thrown out the window. By the time you're at peak week, you should really be looking for a look, a very specific look. And I think that, you know, if you, and I don't like to say compare yourself to others, but if you, I mean, if you look at previous, I don't know, people that have competed at certain shows and see, okay, this is what a typical competitor should look like, you know, then maybe if you're not around that, or you're not, if you don't think you're at your best physique, I don't think you would be considered ready, in my opinion. So that's what I would say. I mean, if you get to peak week and you still have a lot of fat to lose, or you have more, you know, just little things like that. Like if you just have more that you can do, I would consider that to be not ready. Does that answer the question?
Okay. Oh, I think so. I think so. Kaylin, do you have anything to add?
Yeah, I like her point about the scale because, you know, it always amazes me, especially on the bodybuilding side, is that when guys hear how much the heavyweights weigh, they're shocked because, you know, they see somebody like Meshach Ocheng and they're like, oh, he must be 200 and some odd pounds. Then they find out he's only 159. I mean, last time he was 155. And they're just blown away because they're like, oh, you got to weigh so much. You have to have, you must have this amount of weight to step on stage. And I'm thinking that's the furthest thing from it. I said, you put us in a jumpsuit or basically a track suit, and you won't even know we were working out because, you know, we're that lean. Right. So it's an appearance and not a scale. And, I'm afraid of the people, men and women, where the scale is God, and that's basically the parameter that justifies doing or not doing. And I get so afraid of that. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, like Liz was saying, it can be a head game, especially if that's your focus. So, you know, be mindful of that when you guys are getting ready. Or if you're basically supporting, because I know we have a lot of listeners that do support the sport but never have an intent to compete yet. I'll say that because you never know. But, you know, we have to be mindful of everything that's going on, not just one thing. And a scale becomes one thing that you can do without. So just think about that, guys.
And fun fact here, fun fact for anyone listening, I haven't stepped on a scale in 3 years, even competing. I have gone completely on how my body looks, how I feel, how my clothes fit. So you do not need a scale. Just food for thought. So
yep. And I'm with
that's
Alyssa.
My little fun
I tend
fact.
To go more by I tend to go more by measuring tape and look. So that kind of is my guide. I don't really weigh unless my coach is asking for a weight for a baseline of some reason or another. But yeah, so lots of good alternatives.
I don't
there.
Really weigh unless it's
and
protein.
Stop it. I don't know if you all caught that, but it's not W-E-I-G-H, but W-H-E-Y. Good play on words there, Kaylin. snickerdoodle. All right, we got you. Back on track. So I like how Kaylin had pointed out, you know, how we have a lot of listeners in our Radioland family that they support bodybuilders. They love a bodybuilder, but they're not actually necessarily bodybuilders. And it kind of plays into our next question from Linda, and I will go ahead and pose this question to both of you, but she wants to know how a bad prep can affect the family. I mean, right now we're pretty much focused on the athlete itself, but there's this network of people behind this athlete. You know, from your perspective, do you feel like a bad prep impacts them as well?
You know, I do. I definitely think, when you're prepping for a show, a lot of people think, oh, it's all about you. If you have a family, they're involved in this too. I mean, you're
yes.
prepping your own food separately or, you know, you can't go out to social functions with them or you think you can't, you know. That's a whole different topic altogether. But, you know, it can strain relationships, I feel like, personally. And I think, you know, if you have a bad prep, if you have a coach telling you, you know, you can't eat out, you can't do this, you have to have only your own food, you know, that can start to weigh on both the competitor and then subsequently the family or friends, you know, whoever is in their lives and present, because I think having a bad prep puts you in this just psychological position to shut everyone out or want to shut everyone out. And it just becomes this vicious cycle where you could end up hurting those relationships. That's, you know, from my point of view, that's how I feel about it. I'm not sure what else Kaylin wants to throw in there, but yeah, I do think that having a bad prep, and that can weigh very heavily on both the competitor and the support system.
Well, yeah, I definitely have an addition with that because, you know, unfortunately, I've been backstage when, you know, and this is like a bittersweet moment where it was a figure competitor and she won. And the husband was reluctant to come over because of the prep that had been done and, you know, some of the words that had been exchanged. And, you know, what should have been the happiest time in her life went real sour real quick because all she could say was, "I'm sorry," and she just burst into tears because she knew all that he had gone through. And finally, she had seen it. You know, because a lot of us, we're around it, but we don't acknowledge it for what it is. And she realized, you know, this is my husband. This is my life partner. And yet he didn't get to enjoy anything of what we were supposed to be doing together. And we tend to forget that because of focus. And, you know, it's a good, bad thing. Because in any sport, if you're not focused on what you're doing, then you're not doing it right. Let's just be honest. And you do have to have a drive. You do have to have motivation that most people will not understand. But you can't say that just because they don't understand it, they don't get it fully. We have an idea of what's going on. I mean, I used to love basketball before I ever played it. I gained respect for it much more after doing some of the practices, after doing some of the drills, because basically when I first started playing basketball, I figured you could just walk on the court and do whatever you wanted. And then you find out, oh, there's a lot of background to it. There's a backstory. And I think that's the same. It is the same. It can be with natural bodybuilding if it's done correctly. Like Alyssa was saying, it's not a mistake that you are where you are, but you can make a lot of mistakes getting there.
Sure.
Yeah.
And just to tag on to you two, just one quick example of how it can strain, I think, not only family, but then also friendships, especially if you have a family friend who is acting as a coach who may not necessarily be employing the best practices. And I've seen an example of that, or at least learned an example of that. And after listening to some recommendations that she had made, the family friend who was the coach, my advice to the father who was sharing with me on behalf of his daughter, who is a bikini competitor, he's also an aspiring natural athlete, bodybuilder competitor as well, but talking about his daughter. And you know what? I told him, like, you know what? She needs to stop. She needs to switch her coach. She needs to move away from the scenario. And he's like, yes, but it's a family friend. And she's like a second mom and, you know, so on and so forth. And I just said, you know what? It is better to sever that relationship now, find a diplomatic way to do it, than to watch your daughter's health tank and have that relationship go south because of that. Because either way, you're in a no-win situation. You know, so it can a bad prep or bad practices, depending on where they're coming from. I mean, it can impact the family. It can also impact those very strong family friendships. But you can't stay, and I just share that for our listeners, is you can't stay in those bad relationships, coaching relationships I'm talking about specifically, but in general in life, because you don't want to hurt somebody's feelings, especially when your health is at stake. You know, if that person is really that close of a friend, they're going to have to understand it's going to hurt, might hurt their pride, but at the end of the day, if you're earnestly concerned because of your loved one's health, then they don't have to do anything, but they should respect that as well. So I just share that with you guys as food for thought. And I hope you guys understand all of this is done in the perspective of food for thought and making sure that all of you guys out there are doing things the best way possible that support a healthy body and a healthy, happy experience so you stick with the sport for a long time. That's our main goal there. So with that being said, I'm going to move us along to Bill had a couple of questions for you.
Okay.
It's a two-parter. The first one, he wants to know foods to avoid to enjoy the whole process. So there's that one. And then the second part is he wants to know if your approach to coaching guys is any different than coaching the ladies, or is it the same?
Okay, so first question was, let me just repeat this for myself too, if there were any foods or what foods to avoid completely during a prep.
Mm-hmm.
Did I get that
mm-hmm.
correctly?
Yep.
So I'll just address that one first. I'll be completely honest here, and I will say that there are, unless you have a medical reason to avoid a certain food product, if you have celiac disease or you are severely lactose intolerant, allergies, unless you have something like that, there is no food that you should absolutely have to avoid during a prep. I'll say it again. There is absolutely, unless you have a medical reason, no food to avoid completely during prep. It's not going to hurt your results as long as you are basically in a caloric deficit, because that is what drives fat loss. Surplus, caloric surplus, so eating more calories than you're burning, you're going to gain. Burning more calories than you're eating, you're going to lose fat. And your coach should make sure that that process is a nice process so that you retain as much muscle as possible. And again, so that the prep is as enjoyable as it can be. The only time, and I will add this note, the only time I tell someone to completely avoid a particular food during prep would be if there is a certain food that would trigger any type of binge eating behavior. So
mm-hmm.
if someone has a particular trigger, I call them trigger foods. So if there's a particular trigger food where, you know, oh, I'm just going to have one and you end up eating the whole bag, maybe it'd be best to avoid that food item until you're done with prep. But really, that's the only time, apart from medical reasons, that I would say to eliminate a food item. So I hope that answers the first question for you, Bill. Second part was if my approach to coaching males was different than females. And really, it's not. Again, it just really depends on the division that they would compete in, if we're talking competitors, because that, you know, every division obviously has a different level of leanness, et cetera, that you have to consider when putting together a nutrition plan, training, and all of that. But in general, for lifestyle clients, my approach isn't different. Everyone has a very balanced diet, macronutrient-based diet, and training. I have everyone pretty much training hard, lifting weights, cardio as needed. But men's and women's, everyone's bodies work completely different, and I wouldn't categorize that as just male and female. I treat every individual body as its own entity functioning completely differently from one person to another. So,
very cool.
Yeah.
A couple things there. A, I like how you said cardio as needed. So,
yes.
Massive cardio, not always necessary. You know, each body is individual, so it will depend, but, you know, 2 hours of cardio every day, no. I mean, not even if you're a bikini competitor.
No.
and then secondly, as far as foods, because we've got another question about that, wants to know about some of the good foods you can enjoy during peak week. And I totally agree
sure.
with Alyssa. I am a fan of flexible dieting, so I don't think that there's necessarily anything off limits unless you have an allergy or, like she says, a medical reason. But from my perspective, I like to eat a lot. I want to eat the most
mm-hmm.
amount of food possible. So the cleaner I eat, that means the more food I get to eat. If I want to start throwing
exactly.
in, you know, some junkier stuff, even though it fits my macros, that just means the less food I get to eat. So
right.
my rule of thumb
right
is it's not always as fun, but I'm going for quantity over taste sometimes. Not that it tastes bad, but, you know, that Ben & Jerry's ice cream, I love it, but no, I'm going to eat a sweet potato, lots of it instead.
Right. Yeah, especially towards the end of a prep. That's when you really have to start, I quote-unquote, bro dieting down if you want to really keep that volume, you know.
Mm-hmm. It's all about choices. No doubt. It is about choices.
I love it.
Along these lines, though, we have a question from Stacy, and he wants to know, what precautions or advice would you give to a type 1 diabetic going into peak week? I'm not sure if you've had any experience with that, but, you know, if you can, share with us.
Well, I don't personally, I have not coached a type 1 diabetic competitor, but my advice there, honestly, would be to be very, very tightly in control of monitoring your blood sugars. You don't want to do anything drastic that could mess with your blood sugar. And honestly, with type 1 diabetes, you're pretty much experts at watching those levels in the first place. But when you get into a peak week, you know, just be very wary, knowing, you know, how much insulin you need to be administering with the carbs that you're being given. Your coach should be either in contact with your doctor or with your dietitian or someone.
Yes.
Because, honestly, not all coaches know how the body works. They just kind of make stuff up. I'm not going to lie. So, you know, just making sure that you have a coach who is either experienced working with type 1 diabetics, or making sure that that person is in contact with your doctor at all times, that will make all the difference. And they will make sure that you are giving yourself the insulin you need to be safe. So that's my thought on that.
Okay, cool. Kaylin, did you have something to add to that one?
Oh my goodness, yes. Especially when you're talking about people's health and fitness. One of the biggest things that you have to understand, like Alyssa said, you will, this is not an option with type 1 diabetic, you will have that doctor as part of the team. That is a given. And if the coach won't accept that, then it ain't a coach. I can tell you that right now. I would be very afraid if they did not want that person involved in all decisions dealing with diet, when the insulin is going to be spiking during the day. I mean, there's so many things to cover. And as a coach and you have other clients, I guarantee you need that single-mindedness from that doctor. There's nothing wrong with having them be a part of that team. It is essential. It is vital that person be involved. So do not have anyone dealing with your prep and won't add that doctor into it, because there's different medications, there are different levels of medication, even though you're dealing with insulin, there's different levels of insulin. So you have to be mindful of all that, and a doctor deals with this every day. Hello. So they're going to know a lot more of the key components to when things are looking good, when things are looking bad, that you just might not even process during your day. That's the addition I have.
Yeah, don't mess with your life. You know? Don't mess with your life.
That's true.
Be smart about your coach
That's
choice.
True. Yes. Oh, my gosh, yes. On so many fronts, but yes for this. So, Stacy, I hope that helped answer your question. Real quick, want to give a shout-out to Poland. We're getting some love from our listener family in Poland tonight. So, Alyssa, they're digging everything that
nice.
You're laying down. Yeah, Piotr and Svetlana. I don't know if I pronounced those right, but I think I'm pretty close. So, thanks for tuning in. Loving it. So, mwah. From the Midwest to Poland. Thanks for joining us tonight, guys. So, there we go. And then, Kaylin. I feel like I've been dominating the show. I know you've got lots to contribute, so go ahead, my brother.
I see your cosplay outfits. It's okay. Well, there was a question about the cardio, and, you know, I love the way Alyssa said it. And I don't think – I mean, like I said, people can hear things, but it's not processed. because they're so set in their way, like you said, the bro mentality that still runs its head around the gym. And there's plenty of people that, you know, I always find it funny that when you don't know anything and you're not doing anything and your body isn't making any changes, no one wants to talk to you. But the minute you start getting ready for a show and they start seeing changes, everybody's got advice suddenly. And you're thinking, well, where was all this when I needed it? You know, if it was so important and vital now, where was it, mm-hmm. you know, when I started? And one of the things, you know, that basically the save-all, end-all, be-all is cardio. And I never understood that because just with the background that I have, the more muscle you have, the more taxing it is on the body is doing all this cardio. I mean, the body's got to eat. And you're in a deficit. I was always amazed that people would push that and think that somehow your muscle was going to improve. Like I said, there were certain things that just didn't add up if you really had the knowledge and understanding of where things were going. So, you know, with what people are saying about cardio, especially coming from a bikini, because, I'm calling you guys out on this one. I thought women love cardio. No, they love the representation of what cardio does. Yeah, so I'm calling you guys. I won't name call you. I won't put you on Front Street with this one. But, guys, yeah, you're way off. They love what it represents for where they're trying to get because they just didn't know better. So when you have two very well-represented bikini competitors on this show tonight saying, nah. So, yeah, think about that in the future, ladies, and guys as well, because if your coach starts really pushing the cardio, then like Alyssa said, maybe you're just not ready for the show that you have planned, and you just might have to get one
later. Yep, exactly. I agree. So some more kudos here. Alyssa, Blake wants you to know that he has been enjoying the show tonight. In fact, he's been pleasantly surprised. He wasn't expecting so much great content to come out of P4P Real Talk tonight. So thank you for that and all you've been sharing with us. And thanks, Blake, for letting us know that you are finding value in what you're hearing. So to kind of get us back on our initial track here real quick, because we're down to about the last little under 20 minutes of our time together here. But so we talked about peak week. Now I want to transition that into show day. Sound nutrition for show day. I mean, it should include water and food, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I say that, and it sounds like I'm being condescending, and I'm not, because I kid you not, folks, there are lots of athletes, and again, I'm familiar with far more what bikini competitors do than maybe the rest of the world, but they come into show day, and they're trying to drink as little as possible and eat as little as possible, and even for bikini competitors, with our little mini muscles compared to everyone else, we still got them. I'm not putting us down. We put in a lot of work. We do have muscle under there. But comparatively speaking, even our little mini muscles need some love from hydration and food. So that's what I'm saying.
Yes.
We should be eating and drinking, correct?
Yeah. That it baffles me. And I actually saw this a lot the past couple of weekends too. I've been traveling to a lot of shows and I've had people competing and then I've been canning for Tan Perfect, and I've seen so many girls, especially in bikini, and this is, I don't get it either, that are like, I haven't had any water since Thursday night, or
I only had
3 ounces of chicken this morning. And I'm thinking, in my head, I'm thinking, who the hell is your coach, number one? And then number two, I was just like, you poor thing, you know, and you could see it in their eyes that they weren't enjoying a single second of being backstage, of being all glammed up and getting ready to go out on stage. They just, you could tell. And a lot of those same girls, when I would go into the audience, you could see it in their stage presence. They didn't want to be there. They were thinking about pizza and water. You know, they were just not having fun. And that really shows through in one of the most important aspects of competing, as we both know, stage presence. I mean, it hits them then in all aspects. So you have their bodies aren't properly filled out, and then it goes through into their face on stage. So, yeah, I'm not really sure where the no water and no food trend is coming from, but I've seen it a lot the past couple of weekends.
Yeah, and it is still, I mean, and that's a scary thing for me. Just one quick thought here, Kaylin, I'll turn it over to you, because it is still so prevalent. I mean, we were at one show together so far this year, but we've been at different shows, and we are seeing it consistently across these shows, and that's what's scary to me, because I just feel like in this day and age of information sharing, it shouldn't be that way. Kaylin?
Right.
Yeah, well, see, this is something, and I've always celebrated natural athletes working with natural athletes, because one of the misnomers and one of the denials is the people of the enhanced realm not admitting that they're enhanced. And the things that their bodies can get away with are simply cannot. And you are doing it. Overtaxing is an understatement when you really think about the damage that's done to a natural athlete trying to go keep up with an enhanced diet. And I say enhanced diet because there's a lot of garbage that can be put in that can be accepted simply because their bodies are in overdrive and they can basically recover and recapture all that's lost. And I say that in quotes because there's a lot of damage done on the other side to make that happen. But one of the things is like doing without the water, because when you finally get the fluid intake on the enhanced realm, there's a lot of recovery. Everything I'm saying, like I would love to have a research show, and we were actually going to have Dr. Peter on here so we can get into that. But there's a certain mindset that comes with the enhanced community, because they can do things and recover that a natural athlete simply cannot. And when you put an enhanced diet on a natural athlete, there is a lot of suffering, and there's a lot of damage, metabolic damage. There's a lot of things that need not be, simply because a person wasn't forthgiving with the information about their lives, not the person that they're teaching. And so a lot of it got passed along as fact, when it is like a really blurred, I mean, it's basically a lie, but I mean, it can still be spoken as truth because that person did it. But everybody is different. And if you're basically suffering through the process, one, you know, like, you know, we've had a lot of people say in the past, you have to open your own mouth and speak on it because it's your body and your health. And two, there's a lot of things, like I said, that aren't shared from the coach to the client. And because of that lack of information, there's a lot of falsehoods that go into a prep. And if someone's, like Alyssa said, making it up as they go, then the only person that's getting guinea pigged is you. And you're the one that's going to suffer, because I guarantee you, if the coach is doing that, and I put that in quotes, coach, then they're moving on to the next person, and you're basically done after your show's done. So think about that.
Yeah.
All right. So, bikini gals especially, please, drink something, eat something. You'll be happier.
Yeah.
You'll look better on stage. I mean, think about it. If you've ever had someone make the comment to you, they see you in pre-show, then you leave. If you're in a show format where there's a pre-judging and then there's an evening show, there's time in between. You leave, you go get something to eat, you relax a little bit because you feel like the hard part of it's over. And then they see you in the evening and they say, oh, my gosh, you look so much better than you did this morning. Yeah. I mean, at first when you hear that, you're probably like, what does that mean? How am I supposed to take that? But then the second thought is, well, oh, crap, because the judging's over, and if I look better now than then, what does that mean?
Mm-hmm. And a lot of, I mean, you'll hear this all the time, too. Like, you'll be done with your show. You'll go out to eat. You know, you'll have your pizza, your ice cream, whatever, and then you wake up the next morning, and you're like, oh, my God, I look better today. Why is that? Well, you're hydrated, you're fed, you have sodium to move all of that, all those carbs, so they settle in your muscles, so your muscle tissue is filled out. Voila, that is what you should think about.
That's your peak
on
week.
Show day. And peak week. I mean, yep. Seriously. I mean, it's the whole purpose is to make sure those muscles are full, hydrated, you have salt. I mean, you pull any of those things and you're going to look flat. You're probably going to look soft. Unless the goal is to make you a little softer because, I mean, Desi, you and I, and we both know about how bikini can be kind of touch and go with that.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's
just
a hard look versus
but
soft.
It,
yeah.
Right. So, I mean, you can manipulate those variables to either come in looking leaner or softer, but the whole point is that you are fed. In either situation, you should be fed. You should have water. And your sodium levels should be pretty regular. I mean, you shouldn't do anything crazy with sodium because then you pull it too much or you jack it up too much and then you can end up holding water. But
yeah.
It's not deprivation. It shouldn't be. And if your coach thinks that he or she has to starve you on the day of your show, you weren't ready.
Yeah.
Plain and simple.
Yep. Good. Glad to hear that. So let's talk about this a little bit. We've got, hold on, Kaylin, what you got?
Well, just a quick one. It's a funny, not funny, but there was I hate calling them coaches or anything, but a person that directed the person that was competing, and he had that deprivation diet, and basically when he finally gave her the carbs, I mean, it was instant food baby. And
it's
not a good look. And so his basically fix, and I put that in quotes as well, was to basically apply more tan. And it was a living nightmare to watch that happening because once you get that introduction of carbs and fluids, there's no turning back on show day. It's not like you can basically put that car into the garage and hopefully nobody sees it. It was just god-awful. And, you know, I was ripping him a new one the whole time because I said, this is this woman's moment, standing in front of all these people with this look. And you did that, you know, because sometimes they need to be called out. Well, all the time they need to be called out.
Mm-hmm.
But in a public forum so they can understand just how bad it is for that competitor because they can hide away if nobody's taking pictures with them. But that competitor is out there for all the world to see. So,
right. Honestly,
guys, gals, don't let them get away with it. If you know that's what's going on, call them out. Save another client in the future from having to go through that debacle because it's not a good time.
I agree. Kudos to you for calling him out because there are too many, like you said, directors of competitors out there that just don't have a clue. And they don't feel any of those repercussions. They're not on stage.
Yeah.
Yep. And, you know, I have to give a shout-out while we're on this topic, just real quick, then I know we got to tootle along because we're getting short on time. But you know what? Shout-out to Brian McCabe, who is a coach, and he's also a promoter of the Chicago Windy City Naturals. And he was on social media apologizing for what he thought had been a bad call that he gave to one of his clients because he thought that might have negatively impacted him on show day. Now, his client disagreed, but basically he was on there saying, hey, man, I did this. It might not have been the best call on that day, and because of that, you know, I'm offering this as compensation for that or, you know, to help recoup, you know, to make amends for this. And, you know, you don't see that very often. You usually have the scenario like you guys were talking about where the coach is just, you know, might, you know, well, that didn't work, and they just don't really take responsibility for it. They put it on the athlete, and it's, oh, well. But I just want to make notice of that particular coach who was taking responsibility for it and, you know, was trying to make amends for it. So, you know, kudos to him and coaches that are like that. So quickly, getting us back to show day, food, yes, water, yes. But what does a I know everybody's different, but typical schedule, like saying you're going to be on stage by 10 o'clock in the morning. That's when you're roughly going to hit stage, okay. You know. When do you start eating or start getting your body fueled up so you are, your muscles are full and peaking, you know, about the time that you're going to hit that stage? What are some of those tricks? And they're not tricks, but what would you recommend?
So depending, again, like you said, say at the morning stage time, I like to have my competitors eating a carb-rich meal, say, before they go to bed. That way their muscles are starting to kind of fill up with those carbs. And then I'd say about 5 hours before they hit the stage, have a little bit of protein, more carbs, nothing crazy, probably between 20 to 30 grams of carbs. And then a little bit of fat, like say half a tablespoon of peanut butter, something like that. Have water with that meal. I usually have a client pump up before every meal to kind of just help, I guess, push those nutrients into the muscles. So that'd be about 5 hours before stage. Then I'd say in the next couple of hours, look at the client, evaluate how they look, how they feel, if they're still looking a little flat, give them another 20 to 30 grams of carbs, some more fat, maybe a little bit of protein, water. And then from there, I just really monitor how the client is looking and feeling. If they're feeling really tight and they look really good, I kind of just try to hold that look. So then maybe waiting until, you know, an hour or 30 minutes before the stage before giving them, you know, some fun food, like a couple of peanut butter cups. But if they're still looking flat, you know, roughly a couple hours before the stage, I usually feed them just smaller increments of carbs, so 10 to 15 grams of carbs, like a rice cake, a little bit of protein, like an ounce or so, and then just really watch it. I guess that's my typical way of looking at a show day nutrition plan, but just making sure that the client feels good, that they look what they're supposed to look like. Honestly, if you pump them full of carbs, I mean, if you just load them, like have 300 grams of carbs, you could end up having them spill over and looking watery, and there's really no way to come back from that point on show day. So smaller increments, anywhere from 10 to 30 grams of carbs at a time, water with those meals, that's pretty, I think, pretty standard.
Okay, gotcha. Very good. And then real quick to tag on to that, and this will probably be our last question for tonight. Brenda wants to know about the post-show diet. You know, how should you handle your food, you know, even that same day coming off of a competition? I mean, everybody wants to go to the pizza party, but what do you recommend?
Mm-hmm. Honestly, I think it just depends. I get really into the whole psychological aspect of all this.
Yes,
so,
please,
you know,
and thank you.
So, yeah, so I like to think, I take it based on the client. So if you have someone who's dieted for 30 weeks, you know, or longer, you know, 20, 30 weeks, those long, grueling preps, I usually tell people, you know, don't go crazy. Have something that you've really wanted to have and eat until you are physically satisfied and not emotionally satisfied, if that makes sense.
Good point.
You know, you know, you hear the whole eyes are bigger than your stomach kind of thing. You know, don't eat yourself sick. So what I like to tell people is go out with your family, friends, whoever's there, have a good time. You know, don't go crazy, but enjoy yourself. And then I like to practice a little bit of mindful eating as well. So I'm like, when you're eating your meal, you know, savor it. Don't just engorge, you know, don't eat super fast and then think you can just move on to the next thing. Really sit there and enjoy a nice meal. And I guess after that, speak with your coach and if you don't have another show planned, talk about having, you know, maybe a nice breakfast and then getting back close to on track. Or, you know, it just, it really depends on where the client's mind is at for me to recommend. So, you know, if you have really experienced competitors who have always done well post-show, knowing when to get back on track, you know, usually you can say, have your free meal that night, have a nice breakfast, or a whole 3 day the next day, and then we'll get back on track. Other people, you kind of have to reel in a little bit and say, oh, well, maybe just have this, and then kind of help them plan out some fun foods to add in to their calculated diet over the next few days until you can set them up with a proper reverse.
Okay, cool. And that actually might be something to delve more into on to another show, but tonight we are out of time, which is always sad because it goes by so fast. So, Alyssa, I just want to say thanks so much for joining us tonight and all of the knowledge that you've dropped on us. And hopefully our listeners have gotten something that's given them some food for thought and maybe will, you know, shape their future preps in a more positive light.
Yeah, well, thank you guys for having me. It's been really great to talk with both of you, and hopefully this will help keep people coming back to natural bodybuilding and realizing that maybe if they had a bad prep before, that not all coaches are like that, and hopefully they try, you know, try again and have a great experience.
Amen to that. And then one last quick question to put you on the spot. Are we going to see Miss Liss on a pro stage in 2017?
my plan is my plan is, you know, if I'm ready, then hell yeah, I'll be up on a pro stage. Hey. If I'm not, then I'm not, but you know, we'll see.
Yep. All right. That's fair enough. That is fair enough. We, you know, we always love to watch you compete, so that would be great. But if not, you know, that's cool too, because as we've been talking about, if you're not ready, don't force it. There's always another show.
Exactly.
Enjoy what you're doing. Awesome. All right. So on behalf of Miss Alyssa Vendis, oh, you know what? We totally forgot. You are a coach. If people want to find you or want to ask you more questions, Where can they get a hold of you?
They can shoot me an email. It's just vandysfitness@gmail.com. Or they can, you know, they can add me on Facebook, any of those social media avenues. I'm also on Instagram, so I can give you guys all of those links if you'd like, so that people can get a hold of me if they're interested in contest prep. Or
sure,
coaching
awesome.
In general.
I do
a lot of lifestyle.
Okay, very cool. Yeah, get us those details, and we will post that on Midwest Bustle along with a link back to this interview. And for those of you who are wondering, Van Diest is V-A-N-D as a dog, I-E-S-T. And so check her out, Alyssa Van Diest on Facebook, and then Van Diest Fitness at, you said, gmail.com?
Yes. Yep, Gmail.
Okay, there you go, vandysfitness@gmail.com. So with that, on behalf of myself, Alyssa, Kaylin, Snickerdoodle shout-out.
Snickerdoodle is Snickerpoodle.
so long. I always feel like we've lost you. And on behalf of the boys at P4P Muscle, your body is a temple, so let's build it.